pastor to speak on stewardship, I was wondering, what do people want? What do the leaders of Park Crest want me to talk about? And they said, stewardship. So, of course, being a person who knows how to use a dictionary, I looked in the dictionary and I noticed it's the office or duties of obligation of a steward. Well, that can tell me nothing. It's using the same word. I see. Did you see it last year? Well, in fact, I met my sister in Hawaii. Good for you. It's embarrassing. You can't have embarrassing. So the first definition is, it doesn't mean anything to me. I don't really, it didn't tell me nothing. But the second one does. Look what it says. The conditions supervising or managing a subject, especially the careful and responsible management of things entrusted to one's care. Now, that spoke to me a little bit more. Now, the careful and responsible management of things entrusted to one's care. So that sort of helped me. So I started searching. And I searched the scriptures, and I searched the internet, and I searched some books. They talked about faithful stewardship. Maybe I could talk about faithful stewardship. Or maybe I could talk about stewardship, a way of life. You know, I'm just looking, I'm praying. When you come into a new subject, and then, of course, there was stewardship is hard work, and that kind of grabbed me. I kind of like that, the heart, the stewardship. As we said, the definition there tells me it's the idea of taking care of something that has given over to you to take care of. Parents, for instance, they take care of their children. It, in a sense, that is stewardship. And then, of course, I came across this design and I thought, oh, this is awesome. It's about the heart. And so I kept digging and praying, and then I thought, well, stewardship to me is about money. Calm down. Don't go for your wallets. I'm not going to take a claim. But that's what I thought stewardship was at first, about money. And as it says up here, the Bible offers 500 references, each on prayer and faith, on faith. But nearly 2,000 verses and mention of money-related topics. So money is an important thing. But, I still didn't want to just talk about that. Now, no, I'm not going to pass this around the election. But as I was searching and praying and even listening to a message, I came across the stewardship of the earth, stewardship of creation. That's what this is. It's recycling. And I thought, well, that would be a very interesting topic, a biblical topic to talk about. But I'm not going to today. It's like my wife and I went a few years down the Oregon coast. And as we were traveling down the Oregon coast, we went into little coffee shops and little antique places. It was really fun. But everything down there was organic. So I started taking pictures of all this organic food, organic this, organic dog food, organic. I came back and I prepared 4 messages on organic. Biblically, are you an organic Christian? Isn't that interesting? I won't preach that now, but that's an interesting subject. There's something like the stewardship of the earth. My kids make sure that the blue box is there, the yellow bag is there, the gray bag is there, the garbage bucket is there, and the other bucket is there. And my son-in-law will go into the garbage and say, Dad, that's recycled. But it's an interesting subject. Sometime if I'm invited to speak on it, I will do that, God willing. Now, stewardship, what is it? Is it stewardship of the earth? Is it stewardship of money? Well, what I came up with, and after reading and praying about it, the Lord showed me that it's the stewardship of treasure, yes, money, the stewardship of time, and the stewardship of talent. So that's how we're going to tackle the subject. TTT, to help admit it. Time, treasure, and talent. Treasure, time, and talent. Are we taking care of our time? Are we taking care of our treasure? Are we taking care of the talent? So let's take it further. Time. Very interesting.
Time. Stewardship of time. Time is very precious. Now, we talk about tithing. Now, that is not a New Testament dispensation of grace hard and fast rule. I think it's a beginning that we should give back to the Lord money, but we also should give back to the Lord our time. It's loaned to us. Time. Are we taking care of our time for the Lord? You know, it's very interesting when you think of it. It says up here that there's 24 hours in a day. And it's very interesting to see, too, how much of our time are we giving back to the Lord? How much time are you giving back to the Lord? And that's a very important thing. It is truly, if we truly give a tithe or a tenth of our time to the Lord, that would amount to 16 hours per week. A goal, pretty intimidating. 16 hours a week. But if you break that down to a day, it's 2.5 hours a day. Are you giving back to the Lord some time that He's loaned you? He's only loaned us the time. And biblically, we are to be good stewards of our time. Are you a good steward of your time? Are you giving back to the Lord? I'm not necessarily saying it's got to be 10%. I'm not saying that. But are you giving back? Now, I love you. I don't read it. I listen to it every day on my iPad. 2.5 minutes. So I sit down in the morning. I sit down and I have my coffee here in the fireplace over there. And 2.5 minutes, I listen to Daily Bread. And I know hundreds and hundreds of Christians that do that also, but they read it. But that's, according to them, all they do. 2.5 minutes every morning, they read the Daily Bread. That's good. Do it. Keep doing it. But is that enough? Is it really giving back to the Lord at the time? You know, all of us have been given a little chunk out of eternity called time. Just a little bit. Now, how much of that little chunk are we giving back to the Lord? Listen to what the Bible says. That's the most important thing. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. It's telling us here that we are to take care of time. We are to make the most of every minute. I guess it was Thursday, I spoke to about 200 elderly people at Willington Mennonite Church. And it was a seniors meeting. And I talked a little bit about this subject, not this particular, but I talked about time. You know, and I was telling those dear old people, don't be old crackpots. Sometimes we who are old are crackpots, aren't we? I mean, we're always complaining and we're always quejándose, we say in Spanish. And we're always down. We're always negative. We're always backwards about being forward. Sometimes us older people, I'm talking old, not any of you here, but I'm talking older people. But anyway, the thing here, it says here that we are to make most opportunity. And I was telling those dear saints that they have to use what time they still have for the glory of God. And that they've got to give back to the Lord some of those centuries or half a century that they have. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We have to redeem the times. Redeem. We have to make the best use of time God has given us, especially in light of the fact that there are so many opportunities to abuse it. We can't just waste away our time. We're going to see about it later as we go on, but I'm not talking about nothing better than a good soccer player against Argentina and England, especially when Argentina wins, of course. But we won't go there. But you know, that's not wasting time to see Argentina win. I didn't hear any amens from the spots. But our dear sister back there, welcome. It's wonderful meeting you there. Both from England back there. Both there. Well, one of them from England. But anyway, the Bible says very distinctly, time is more valuable than money. You can't get more money, but you can't get more time.
You can get more money, but you can't get more time. And that is important to realize. Time is so precious, especially when you get over 70. I know I don't look like 72. Most people say I look like 52. But we won't go there either. But the thing is, I'm over 70. And every day, every hour is more precious to me than when I was 40 or 50. Now, you young people won't realize that. But you'll realize that when you get older. Very few other things are so valuable than time. Time is the most valuable thing to a lot of us right now. We're throwing away things. We're getting rid of things. We don't need things. We need more time. God hands out time only sparingly. And all of us know that when items become scarce, they become more valuable. And time is so valuable. Every moment is valuable. Every time I hold my granddaughters, my grandson in my arms, it just is so valuable to me, and it's so important. Psalm says, remember how short time is. Remember how short time is. Time is best and very brief, like the falling of a leaf. Take a leaf. I was looking for some leaves today, but they're all wet. But take a leaf, shoo, it falls. Time is like that. Time at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. Remember how short time is. That's what it says here. Remember how short my time is. Psalm 89, verse 47. Life is uncertain. If a person lives in his full allotted time of 70 years, because we're going to see a verse that talks about having a life of 70 years, that means, believe it or not, the days of our years are 70. That's 70, right? Mathematician. So you know what that means? Our days can be 70 years. That means we have 26,000 days to live. You can say I'm negative. I'm not negative. I enjoy life, and I'm going to enjoy the time the Lord gives me. But that's how many days we have. How many of those days are you giving back to the Lord? I just appreciate people who go up to Avalon Bible Camp and Morningstar Bible Camp too, and Camp Imogene. They take a week of their holidays, that they only get 2 weeks of holidays, and they use that week to go up to camp. They have to pay to go up to camp to work for the Lord, and they work 10, 12 hours a day. That's sacrifice. That's using your time wisely. Sure, you're not making any money, but it counts for eternity. Our days may come to 70 years. Life at its best is short. Time flies so fast. Lord, help me not to waste this day, lest it should be my last. We have to be careful. Lost time can never be found. You can't go to the lost and found. Last week when I was here, I lost my keys. I think you saw me sort of walking around here like an idiot and going in this pocket and that pocket. But what it was, I took off my coat. I left my coat there. I went out and put on my coat and went out, and the car wouldn't open up. But I had a set of keys. But anyway, it's a long story. But I lost my keys. I found them. But if I lose an hour, I can't find it. It's gone. Fini. Just that. It's never to be gained back if I lose an hour. I have to be very wise. And biblically, we're seeing the right way is to use your time. Is there a right way and there's a wrong way? Yes, there is a right way. And there is a wrong way. And it's like that hourglass, if that's our life. Are you using your time wisely? Am I using my time wisely? I'm speaking to myself. Work diligently for God. It's so important. With our time, the limited God is interested in everything we do, and He wants our time when we work. Are we helping? Are we encouraging? Are we working? Are we showing our bosses where we work that we're different? When we work 8 hours, are we working 8 hours? Or do we take 20 minutes instead of 15 minutes for coffee break? The Bible shows us very over and over again that when you're at the office, when you're at the shop, or the classroom, the kitchen, or the farm, we have to be careful of our time. I know I got in a lot of trouble when I was an assistant manager at Kelly Douglas' freight department up on Kingsway there, where
where the Metrotown is now. We're in the corner of Sussex and Kingsbury. I worked there, and I was a press operator, and the press would and me being the way I am, when it was working good, I would go and cut some paper. And of course, I got in trouble with the union, I got in trouble with other people, and they wanted me to just sit down like the other two pressmen and read Playboy magazine. But I wasn't interested in sitting down reading a magazine, a Playboy magazine, or one of the others that they were wanting. I wanted, but I went overboard and I got in trouble, and it's probably wrong to do that to go against the rules and regulations. But work diligently for God. You should be the best worker in your factory. You should be the best worker at school. Remember when I went to school, they used to call me, oh, I won't say that word. They also used to, no, I won't say that word. Because they used to call me apple polisher, I'd use that word. But I wanted to work hard. I had a hard time in school. I went to 11, 12 different schools. I moved all over. I went to Cascades Elementary School, and Renfrew Elementary School, and Inman Elementary School, and Windermere Elementary School, and Douglas Grove Elementary School, because of family problems and so on. Not because I was kicked out, but because I had to move with my father. But every one of those schools, they knew me. Because I wanted to work diligently, because I wanted to work as unto the Lord. And that's what God tells us to do, to use our time, use our energies 100% for the Lord. Our purpose is to please God, not man. And if you use your time wisely, and you show the people at your school, you show the people at the university, you show people at the office, you show people in the factory, that you're working diligently as unto the Lord, they'll notice it. They might call you names, you know, but this is what the Bible says. Our purpose is to please God, not to please man. Knowing God, knowing His will, and His will for you and I are to use our time wisely. The message of the Bible, for instance, is bread for the inner man. And that's another purpose, that God wants to use our time wisely in regards to the Word of God. We've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Even if you're not a preacher, even if you're not a Sunday school teacher, even if you don't work at DBBS, even if you don't work at a Awana Club, you are to study the word of God. Because it's bread. It's comida. Manger. Eat the word of God. Take time to read the word of God. Take time to study the word of God. When you're on the bus, take a good book, take an iPad and read the Bible on the bus. Read a tract, read a good wholesome book. Redeem the time. People say that life for a Christian is boring. Well, I'm afraid people don't know my life, but life of a lot of people I know. Life of a Christian is exciting. It's a challenge. It's a desafío. It's a battle. It's something that we have to work at if we want to really please God. And if we give God back the time and use some of that time wisely, like reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, life is not boring. And one of the activities to cultivate a habit of prayer, use your time wisely. When you're sitting there, you can pray. Instead of just sitting there twiddling your thumbs, you can pray. You can read your Bible. You can witness to that person beside you. Redeem the times. That's what the Bible says. Serving God. That's what we should be doing. Serving, helping, encouraging, building up each other. Serving God. Using every moment wisely. As you can see the verses we've looked at. And we talked a little bit about that last week, about serving others. Teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. That is what I'm going to leave with you in regards to time. Teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Are you wise? I'm not always wise. Sometimes I waste time. Talent. Very interesting subject. So, stewardship of your time. Time has been allotted to us, maybe 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. maybe 100 years. We don't know. But the time that is allotted to us, we have to be good stewards of that time.
Talent, very interesting. Oh, I love that worship. Boy, you get those three Williams together. It's awesome, isn't it?
Wasn't that good? They're using their talent to praise God. And all of us sat, I'm a little bit hoarse. Because, see, I sing loud and off key. But when they're singing, I can sing loud too. Probably too loud, but that's why I sit here in the front, away from everybody that can't hear me, because I love to praise God. But we've got to use our talent for the Lord. The guitar player, the bass drum player, use our talents. Turn Romans chapter 12 with me, just for a second, please. So important, this verse. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. In regards to our talent. Therefore, I urge you, brothers. He's urging us. Paul's urging the brethren in Rome and in Vancouver, in Parkcrest Bible Chapel, this Sunday morning. Therefore, I urge you people at Parkcrest, by the mercy of God, to present your body a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable unto God. Yes, God. Talent. God gives all people talents when they are born. Each of us can share in God's plan in his or her own way. We have abilities. We have talents. We have gifts. Every Christian, we don't have time to go through it all, but every Christian, I believe, receives one gift at least. And we're going to find out why they receive that gift. Everyone is gifted, but some people never open the package. Can you imagine at Christmas time with a beautiful Christmas tree? Oh, sorry, you don't use a Christmas tree. Well, we do. In our Christmas, we have presents for all the grandchildren. And can you imagine if there was a beautiful present for one of our grandchildren and they never opened it? It just sit there. 365 days. We all have gifts, but we've got to open the package up. We've got to get up in the morning when your foot hit the rug or hit the wooden floor or hit the whatever you get up on, and you say, Lord, usame, use me, Lord. That's what I say every morning. Usame, use me, Lord. I want to use what talents I have to help others. And we know the wonderful story and let's turn to Matthew chapter 25 now. Matthew 25. And you know this story quite well. Matthew 25. Talents, abilities, gifts from God. Matthew 25. And we're reading from verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who calls his own slaves and entrusted them, his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his own ability. Notice their own ability. They had the ability to use these talents. Look at the word ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. Boy, that's 100%. Isn't that 100% increase? Verse 17, in the same way, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. Whoa, wow. Well, that's been the work for me. And he who received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of these slaves came and settled an account with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 22, also the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you into charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Now look at verse 24. "The one who also was going to receive the one talent came up and said, 'Master, I know that you are a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you do not scatter no seeds.'" Sheepishly he says, "I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground, so you have what is yours." So he gave back that one talent. His master answered and said, "You wicked, lazy, good for nothing." Oh no, that's not in my Bible. "You lazy, wicked slave. You knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put my money into the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who had made 10 talents. Verse 29, "And to everyone who has more shall be given, and he who has abundance. But for the one who does not have, even what he does has shall be taken away." What are you doing with that talent? I don't have 5 talents, but I have a few talents. I want to use them for the Lord. I want to use them for the Lord. I hope you're using your talents for the Lord. Here at Park Crest, we run a bus. And, you know, Park Crest Bible Chapel, you know, we don't have a person up here who's the pastor. We are all in the bus. We are all working for the same master. We are all equal. It's like the second one on the right side. Park Crest is not a triangle with a pastor or elders and deacons up top and all of us ordinary people. No, we work together. We all have gifts. It's like the walk back one. Some of you might be an ear, some of you might be an eye, some of you might be a nose. And that's what it talks about in Scripture. The Church of Christ, not this building, but you people are the body of Christ, and you're part of that body. And you've got different gifts, different abilities. And every part is important. I know when I was director of camp, everybody thought the director was the most important. In other camps, I was preacher, and they think the preacher is the most important. No way, Jose. The person that cleans the bathroom is just as important as the preacher. Oh, wrong. No, but what happens if all the plumbing gets plugged up? And that's what I do now in Argentina. I put this arm into the toilets and anytime. And I have to clean them up because I'm not the preacher, I'm not the director. But God is using the few gifts that I have, and that's what I do. I go to Argentina the 17th of January, and I work 10 hours at camps, cut grass, give morning devotions to the leaders, not to the kids, but to the leaders, and I work at the camp. God given us gifts. God given us abilities. The members of the church are also like the servants who are entrusted gifts. And we are to use those gifts. Now, why do we get the gifts? Well, the parable of the talent tells us, now to each one of the manifest of the Spirit is given a common good. Use your God-given talent for the benefit of others. Give praise to God. That's why we have gifts. That's why I've got gifts. I've got a gift to glorify God in the assembly. That's why my dear friends, 50, 60, 70 years in the faith, stay at home and watch television. I tell them that's not scriptural. Scripture is for that person to be at church on Sunday morning. And God bless each and every one of you. He's going to bless you because you're where He wants you to be. Because you have a gift. And your gift is for the edification of one another. Andrew was a little scared at this point. He thought he might have to leave the city. That's great, isn't it? I mean, hold on, I just need to say that. Now, evidently, he tells me he doesn't have that gift. But did you see the way he gives his announcement? Did you see the language he has, the pronunciation he has? I've never been invited in a chorus or a choir or to lead a singer. They don't know what they're missing. Let me give you an example. Let's be practical. And I'm not going to mention the person. I do a little letter like this. I don't usually give it to everybody because most people aren't that interested. But I do a letter like this every year. And I send it out. Now, Cascade Gospel Chapel, we have 5 Oriental people who do not read English. And I would love to give them this letter because they pray for me. But I don't write, read, speak Chinese. But one of your members has always come up to me and says, can I help you? Can I do anything for you? Well, last week I said to her, I said, you know, you're always asking me this. Can you translate this into Chinese? Now, it's only a small thing you're going to see, but she did it. Absolutely gorgeous job. She did it. And we sent it back and forth, and it seems like it's good. Now, those 5 people at Cascade Gospel Chapel are going to be ecstatic. Some people say, but go to all that work for 5 people? It's worth it. But that dear sister here in your assembly, I won't name her, she used her talent to bless 5 other people. I've got some copies here. If any of you want one in Chinese, I do have 2 or 3 copies. I want to share it with you. But isn't it wonderful? She used her gift to help me help others. So important. So what I did this week, I went to John Churchill Brown, and I said, hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo está usted, mi querido amigo? I asked him to do it, but I would be like my singing. I could translate that in Spanish, but he couldn't translate it in Spanish because we have 4 people in our assembly that read Spanish rather than English. Talent, abilities, teaching piano, helping somebody learn piano. Your daughter's learning piano, I think. They're going to, maybe somebody could just say, well, hey, can I come over? I know you only have a keyboard, but maybe I could come over and just give you a few little lessons. My granddaughter's learning, and my wife's downstairs showing my granddaughter how to play the piano. My wife is using her gift to teach my granddaughter how to play the piano, so in the future my granddaughter can do like our 2 pianists today did such a beautiful job. I have a math friend, Ken Seidel. Brilliant. 35 years teaching math. He's passionate. How can he be passionate about math? But then he is passionate about math. And he's retired. He helps people who have trouble with math free of charge. Then he can tell them about the Lord. Talent. Baking. So many things. Use your talent. Use your talent to glorify Him. And you can't go wrong by doing that. What your talent. What is your talent? Are you using it for the Lord? Is it singing? I always encourage young people that are downstairs at Sunday school now, but I would encourage the Sunday school people to take piano lessons so that they could use it to glorify God. So important to use our talent. The stewardship of talent. God's given it to you, you've got to give it back to Him. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? What's your talent? Stewardship of treasure. Now, again, I'm not going to pass that around, so everybody can relax. But what are we doing with our treasure? We talked about our talent, we talked about our time, but how about the talent or the treasures that you have? God has given you money. This is a very delicate subject. A lot of people don't want to. A lot of people are converted, but their wallets aren't converted. Are we giving back to God what He's given to us? Am I preaching, giving a tenth of your tithing? No, I'm not preaching that.
But I'm just saying, are you giving back to God some of the financial wealth? And we're going to talk about other treasures too, because it's not just that. I mean, are you giving back the Lord your car? You know, when I was a little skinny little man, I was all over the place. I was like one of your kids. Just all over, beautiful, I love it. Oh. But you know, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, people would come, pick me up. When I lived up on Russell Street in Kingsway, they picked me up. When I walked England and Bond, they come and pick me up. They picked me up in the car. And sometimes I'd have a snotty nose. Is that political? Yeah, I guess so. Okay, my nose might be running. So, you know, but they picked me up. Ice cream cone, they picked me up. They've given back to God their car. How about those older people that would like to come to the assembly? How about those people who can't make it here? How about your house? Bible studies. I think of Ian and Ellen McDougall. They, on Tuesday morning, they have ladies morning out. 10 or 15 ladies and lady mornings out in their home. Tuesday night in their home, they have 7 or 8 people at prayer meeting in their home. Are we giving back our treasures to the Lord? Not just money, money, money. That's the easiest thing to give back sometimes, isn't it? But how about your car? How about your house? Are you giving back to the Lord your sports, your computers, your music, your dog, your cat? Are you giving back to the Lord your vacations? These are all things that we have to give back to the Lord. Nothing's wrong with any of these. I enjoy all of these. I enjoy my Macs, computers. I enjoy my son-in-law's dog. Like that dog? Does that look like your doggy a little bit? No? Yeah, nice doggy. But are we giving them back to the Lord? And you can say, how can I give back my dog to the Lord? Well, when you got people over, you bring the dog out, and the little kids down, they pet it, and you're being careful. And I mean, it's giving it back to the Lord. So, so important to give these things back to the Lord. God has blessed us so much, so, so much. And these are just some examples of our treasures. So we're not just talking about money, 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 money. We're talking about our treasures. Are we giving it back to the Lord? Your attitude towards money, material things are so important. And when we think of the word materialistic, we think tendency to think material objects are more important than people. Desire for money over ethics. See, if money is your God, you're going to work 24/7 so you can climb the ladder of success to get more money, but you can't give any of your time back to the Lord. Sorry, Lord, I've got to keep going up the ladder. Sorry, I've got to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I've got no time for you. So we've got to give back to the Lord our treasure as well as our time. It all coincides together. It's all important. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Are you sharing your wealth with others? I mean, it's so much easier for me to blah, 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 blah about this, but I have to think of it myself. Am I sharing? It was nice last week. I'm standing up there, and one of the sisters, I won't mention her either, she came up to me. She says, where do you live? I said, well, I live way over by Burnley General Hospital. She said, would you like me to take you there, get your keys, and bring you back? She was willing to give up of her time. She was willing to give up her talent because she had a driver's license. She was willing to drive me. And she was ready to give up her treasure because it would cost gas to go there and back. That's what I'm talking about. Practical systematic theology. Practical theology. Sharing your wealth with others. She was willing to do that. Pouring rain on me. She hadn't even eaten yet. And I'm standing up there and she offers that to me. Others offered me too, but that was very, very nice. Material possessions. No, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. All the cattle in Argentina, God owns. And he has given us so much. Are we calculating what we're giving back to him? Material possessions. Material possessions. You know, we came into this world naked, and we're going to go out of this world naked.
in a sense. You can't take anything and put in the cloth with you. You can't. You're going to just go, and that's it. The Egyptians, of course, in the pyramids, they would take all their treasures and put it in with them and think they would use it for the afterlife. There ain't an afterlife here on earth in the sense that we think life today with all of our possessions. God, personally, is the absolute owner of all things. I like this little cheese thing, joke. Give away my wealth, then follow you? Very funny. Now, Siri, what can I do? God wants us to give back to Him. And the more we give back to Him, the more He's going to give to us. And I know that for sure. I have worked for 51 years without a wage, without a salary. I don't get a salary. I don't get a check every week. But God, through faith in Him, has provided all my needs. And today, I'm telling you right now, I'm a millionaire. I live where I be. I own my house. It's worth $1.5 million. So I'm a millionaire. And to God be the glory, great things He has done all by faith. He's never let me down. I've let Him down. He's never let me down. And some people say, you shouldn't say that, Ronnie. Well, people won't give me any more gifts. Well, I have to be honest with you. How do we get our money? How do we manage God's money? Because it's all His. And I could go on and talk about that, but you've got the idea. Give back to God. He gives riches and wealth according to the 5th chapter of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 25, chapter Matthew, we find the kingdom of heaven is like a man that left a servant some money. 5 talents, we went over that. In finishing that, how do I achieve what I have? How am I spending it? And how am I giving it? I'm a missionary today. I've been to over 70 countries. Why? Because in the 50s, 5 missionaries went to the Aka Indians in Ecuador. I was a young kid, 10 years old. And all 5 of them died as missionaries. And different books came out. I read every one of them. I think there's 7 of them. Aka, Savage, My Kinsman, Jungle Pilot. But one of the young men says, he is a fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain, to keep. Gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let me read that again, I'm sorry. He is no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain which he cannot lose. Give it back. Time, talent, and treasures. And God will bless you. He'll bless the socks off you. He will bless you so much. Now, the person who did this little thing for me here, just a little thing. Can you imagine getting, if you were in a country that you couldn't read or write, and you got something in your own language, in your own characters? Wow! It's like when you're in a foreign country and you hear somebody speaking English. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this day. We know it was beautiful and sunny this morning, and we enjoyed the sun, and we enjoyed the Son of God, worshiping Him around the emblems, the table, the Lord's Supper this morning. Father, it's raining, it's ugly outside, but we thank you, Heavenly Father, that when we see the rain come down, we think of showers of blessings. And we thank you for being blessed like the rain coming down, showers of blessings. We thank you for that. Help us to be wise with our time. Help us to use our talents. Help us to give back our treasures to you. May we be good stewards of your things that you have loaned us. And we'll give you the glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Any questions? I've got to clean up my